All right, guys, quick editor's note to start this one off. Sorry. But so my mic was not plugged in for the entire first half of the recording. It sounds pretty decent. It doesn't sound bad or anything. There's just some background noises that can be kind of annoying, but trust me, it's worth it. In my opinion, it's one of our best episodes yet. So don't let that stop you from watching. And now, or listening, not watching. I'm an idiot. And now, on to the show.
Welcome to the Entremets. I am French.
My God.
You're French. You're a French.
No, that's not the song.
That's Ratatouille.
Yeah, there we go. Ratatouille is French.
Anyway,
I always thought the rat's name was Ratatouille.
So did I.
That movie
guess
is
who
really
started
weird.
Reading Deathly Hallows?
Me.
Right. Way to steal my moment, Connor.
I love stealing your moment.
Way to steal my moment of glory.
Let me just say, I want to read it again now because of you. And
yep,
I know
okay.
I shouldn't because that's a waste of my time. And I have stupid summer reading for school. But I just want to read Harry Potter again now because of you.
Right. So for the past 2.5 weeks, I've been going from Sorcerer's Stone all the way to Deathly Hallows. I have to say, like, Half-Blood Prince, Order of the Phoenix, and Deathly Hallows are long. They are long.
Not
excessively
ever.
Long, but they have a very big page count, even though, like, I've been able to get through 1 in 2 days, so they're not terribly long, but...
I remember one time I couldn't sleep, and I read the entirety of The Order of the Phoenix in one night.
That's kind of sad.
I just sat there. I started at, like, 10:30, and I finished at, like, 6 or 7 a.m.
That's
kind of
sad. Kind of
like what I did with The Hunger Games earlier this year.
Yep, so anyway, I've been reading Deathly Hallows. I'm halfway through, and it is good. It's very, 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 very good. It's great. It's great.
Yes. See,
I know you still. I know you kind of expected me after reading Deathly Hallows to sort of go towards Harris.
Wait, did you finish it?
No. I'm serious, but didn't you?
Maybe
said,
you'll still turn around. Who knows?
I won't. I don't think so. Dumbledore's dead right now, and I know he's gonna have a.
Yes, but he has like the most character development of his entire character just in the last book.
Yeah, still, but the funny thing is, Harris is the one who has the least character development. So if anything, Gambin would be more Dumbledore-ish.
Except in ow, I just really hurt my finger trying to pull off a fingernail.
Keep hurting your fingers during episodes. Last time you pricked yourself with a pin, you were just fiddling.
I also
with.
Keep drinking strange drinks while making episodes. Last time it was a Slurpee or a couple episodes ago, and now I have iced tea.
I love iced tea.
Iced tea's the best. But Harris didn't get the chance to get that character development, though, because Dumbledore as a character was just a very one-dimensional character in the first two books.
But Harris, in general, for his character, if he made Dumbledore, like, he made the Dumbledore character that, so that, it, I don't know what I'm saying, but Dumbledore in the first two movies just seems like the kind of wizard who never changes, and Gambin seems like the one who's having an internal struggle. And that's why I like Gambin so much.
But none of that internal struggle happened in the first book, so you never got the chance to see Richard Harris do that. And I
but
think,
doesn't matter.
I Richard think he would have done better than Michael Gambin.
Are you kidding me?
Yes,
can you imagine
no.
Harris in the fights?
Okay, so I have a bit of
can
a
you
problem
imagine
with
Harris...
that. I do have a big problem with that. I cannot
Can you
really
imagine Harris doing magic?
I can't really imagine Harris doing any of the stuff, but that's just because he seems old, and Dumbledore seems very old. And what
but
I have to
why,
say
like,
is,
but
I think
but
Harris
he doesn't look old. He doesn't look terribly old. That's
yeah,
the
and that's
point.
Another thing. He should look old, not
no,
like
he's
really
not
old.
So,
Harris
he's
didn't
not,
look like super old. He looked like he was
he's
like
not supposed
70
to,
or 80.
Dumbledore's not supposed to look old, though. He's supposed to have a big beard, but he's not supposed to look ancient.
He's
it's
not
known
supposed
that
to
he
ancient, but Harris didn't look ancient.
Kind of did.
I think he just looked old.
He looked old, like really old. But Gambin had more like it looked like he did. He hasn't exactly passed his prime yet. because like in the Order of the Phoenix, we can see that he basically rips Voldemort apart.
Well, this isn't even the purpose of this episode.
Yep. Anyway,
the part of this episode is to discuss. Actually, before we move on, I still think Harris could have pulled all of that off.
I think it's
hard to imagine, but I think if you look at like some other movies he's done, I think he could.
Doesn't
have done
matter.
It.
I'm not looking at other movies. I'm looking at Harry Potter, and for Harry Potter, both with the books and the movies, I think Gambin was the perfect choice. And another thing, the books.
For the books, you think he was the perfect choice for the books? He didn't even read the freaking books before he started.
So? Neither did...
I think everyone that was involved with that should have read them. I don't think
neither
they
did Ian McKellen.
I don't
Gandalf.
Think they... I think he should have read them as well. I don't think they should have copied the books, but I think that's important to read the source material to figure out and to discover the heart of the character.
But what's really interesting is it shows how well a character, how well a written character Dumbledore is if Gambin can pull it off like that.
So he doesn't pull it off.
But that's the thing. They're not going to say, do your thing. They're obviously going to say, this is Dumbledore. You know?
Except he wasn't Dumbledore. He was too
angry. He was Dumbledore.
Angry. He's
How is he
angry?
Angry? He has like one angry moment.
He just always seems angry. Okay, here's what I have to say. Gambin wasn't bad. He was pretty good.
Amazing.
No, he was pretty good. Maybe I would give him a good. But
he's
10
out of
10. I think it could have been a little
Harris
bit better.
Harris is 7 out of 10. Gambin is 10 out of 10. Fight me.
I don't want to fight you. I kind of do want to fight you. Because, I mean, Gambin is... Is it pronounced Gambon?
I have no idea. Anyway, we should probably just move out of
this.
Wait,
No. I'm not saying Harris is good for the role either. I'm just saying I'm not sure if either of them were perfect for the role.
But here's the thing. After reading Half-Blood Prince, Half-Blood Prince has made me appreciate Gambin in the role even more. Though a lot of people say that Harris is Dumbledore. I do not see Harris as Dumbledore in anything but the first
book.
To
be honest with you, I don't see Harris as Dumbledore either. Even when I think of the first book, I think of Gambin.
But when I read I saw Harry Potter, Sorcerer's Stone, Chamber of Secrets, and Prisoner of Azkaban, and then I read the first book. And to me, I've always thought that Harris just doesn't seem right.
No, like, I totally agree with you. Like, I've been fighting for him the whole time,
but when I finally got into Gambin, it seems like...
Shoot, why are you changing my mind? I think you're right. I think I'm gonna pull back what I said. I think Gambin is better than Harris, but I think there was there could have been someone out there that could have been better than both of them.
Did I just win?
No, I still don't think Gambin was perfect, and I think I think with what we've seen, Gambin is better than Harris. But I think if needed, and if he hadn't passed away as he did, he could have done just as well, if not better. But I think Gambin did do very well, but not as well as I would have liked. Because when you go to the heart of the Dumbledore character, I don't think Gambin does it justice. I think he comes close.
I disagree, but Dumbledore isn't.
Maybe I need to watch
wizard.
The movies again.
Dumbledore is not the only wizard we're talking about today.
Not in only fact, is he not the only lizard, the only wizard, he is not the only long bearded white
wizard who's never late. He's not the only wizard who's never late. There's
That's
another wizard who's never
I'm
late.
I'm gonna tell all my teachers that if I come in late to class.
A wizard is never late,
nor ever, nor early. He arrives.
That's right.
Simply when he means to.
We are gonna be talking about Gandalf versus Dumbledore. Dumbledore.
Oh my gosh. But Gandalf versus Dumbledore. Let me begin this with Gandalf would whoop Dumbledore's hiney in a fight.
Depends.
No,
depends.
It doesn't.
Yes,
it
does
doesn't.
Depend. It does. Okay, does Dumbledore have... Wait, did you say Dumbledore can destroy Gandalf or Gandalf
can destroy... No, I said Gandalf can destroy Dumbledore.
Are you kidding me?
Gandalf would win so hard.
How? Tell me how.
Okay, let me explain this to you. I believed this for the longest amount of time, but I was talking to this with another friend of ours the other day, and he gave me the best reasoning for this ever, so I just gotta find it. Give me a sec. But you start off with why you think Dumbledore would win.
Well, first of all, Gandalf does not have the power to kill someone just like that. He has the power to deflect and to
Let me start off with I'm avoid. Pretty sure Gandalf is two tiers down from the gods of Middle-earth.
Well, the gods aren't very powerful then. He's two tiers down, but that means but being two tiers down does not automatically mean that
the steps are even places
away. They are large. I mean large. He's even known as not being one of the most powerful wizards. He's not even the most powerful wizard. Saruman is the most powerful wizard, but even then, he doesn't seem unbelievably powerful. Yes, he can move a mountain, but guess what? Dumbledore can explode mountains. He can do anything.
Dumbledore can explode mountains. What? Let me find this argument that I have. Give me a sec. This dude literally gave me the best ever.
Dumbledore can explode mountains.
Here's what he said.
If Credence in Fantastic Beasts, the Crown of Grindelwald, can explode a mountain.
Credence isn't Obscurus. Are you dumb?
But he had the Elder Wand.
Credence did not have the Elder Wand.
Credence
never had the Elder Wand.
Yes, he did. So in the end of Crimes of Grindelwald, Grindelwald gave Credence, he said he's a Dumbledore, he handed Credence the Elder Wand, and Credence shot the mountain.
He didn't give him the Elder Wand, did he?
Yeah, he did.
Are you kidding? Oh my gosh, I hate that movie even more. Okay. First of all, Credence, that movie pisses me off, but here's why Gandalf is more powerful than Dumbledore.
Are you going to quote this?
Harry Potter, no, I'm not going to quote it, but this is the argument that literally blew me away, and it was amazing. Harry Potter has a hard magic system, and Lord of the Rings has a soft magic system. Do I need to explain that, or does that make sense?
That makes sense, yeah. Like, the limits in Harry Potter are set, but the limits in, the limits in Lord of the Rings are kind of set as well.
Also, every single person in Harry Potter has the ability to use magic to perform menial tasks. Magic is just something that is innate inside of people. Well, magic in Lord of the Rings is something totally different.
Wait, do you mean power relative to each other or just power in general?
What do you mean?
Do you mean average wizards in Harry Potter are powerful, but compared to each other, they're not really powerful. They're powerful to muggles. But in Lord of the Rings, a wizard is way more powerful than a dwarf. But that's because there aren't many wizards. But in Harry Potter, there are way more wizards. So if you compare...
I just think Gandalf is more powerful because no matter what you see him do, it's what you don't see him do. And the way magic works in Harry Potter, it's just spells that perform tasks.
But that does...
Well, the way we see it in Lord of the Rings, you see Gandalf just... He never really does.
But that could also mean that he's not capable of it. If he was capable of it, he could literally just teleport over to Mount Doom, throw the ring in.
I don't think he's capable of some things. But I think what we don't see is
he's not capable of a lot of things. If he wasn't able to... like. If he almost died on the mountainside finding a Balrog, he is not more powerful than Dumbledore.
Dumbledore would have gotten killed by the Balrog as well.
Would he? Could he just say Avada Kedavra and kill it?
I don't think so. I don't think Avada... Does that work on, giants and
it works
stuff?
On any living... I'm pretty sure that's why it's unforgivable, because it basically drains the life out of anything it touches. It doesn't matter the size. It's not like the stunning curse where, in Order of the Phoenix, to talk about Grope, he can deflect stunning.
Yeah, yeah, I see. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I misspoke. So, but I don't know what it is about it. I just feel like Dumbledore. I feel like just the way wizard magic works, it's just more, I don't know, menial.
How do you mean? They're capable of menial things. That's why there are so many wizards. But the point, like, all the powerful wizards are powerful because they turned those menial, like, growing spells or shrinking spells or teleportation spells into something so much bigger. They're capable of so much more than that. But with Gandalf, all we really see him do, and even if you say, well, we can't see him, we hardly see him do anything, so that means he's more powerful, that wouldn't be a proper argument because that is very one-sided. There'd have to be the other side. If it's a mystery, that means there are two cases, or more than two cases. Either he's extremely powerful and he never showed his power, or he is as powerful as we see him in the movies or the books.
And but I think what power he does show is specifically more...
Like how?
Evocative of the fact that he's...
Like all the...
My mind specifically goes back to the scene where... what's it called? Sorry. My mind specifically goes back to the scene where, at the beginning of Lord of the Rings, when Frodo or Bilbo tries to take the ring, and you see Gandalf, like, grow, like... I don't know. They describe it as, like, growing kind of bigger, but you don't really know what's happening. And my mind always goes back to that moment for the source of his power, because he's willing on to take... He's...
But that's just... That just seems like... That just seems like something to scare Bilbo. It's not like he can grow huge. He's just being intimidated.
That feels like if Gandalf wanted to, he could have instantly murdered Bilbo in that moment.
Well, so could Dumbledore.
But I feel like it shows Gandalf... Well, yes, but
like,
I feel
tell
like
me a
Gandalf...
fight. Just tell me a...
Okay, another thing.
Tell me a single fight.
I don't see that... Dumbledore coming back to life.
Okay. Well, that's the thing. Gandalf is an angel, basically, and... That doesn't mean he's automatically more powerful if he can cheat death. Cheating death has been a thing in the Harry Potter universe, and if Dumbledore if Dumbledore had the want of making a Horcrux, he could. So
that's not cheating death. That's preventing death.
That's cheating. If you can
it's
escape,
it's not cheating death.
That counts as cheating death if you can escape death.
I don't think it does because
death is a natural cause, and if you do something unnatural against death, then you are cheating death at its own game.
But I think the whole thing of a Horcrux is you're essentially just evading death. You're not.
And that's cheating death
like,
because it's unnatural. Unnatural. You're basically saying my life is going to be in an inanimate object.
But death will eventually get you either way. Eventually, the Horcrux will get destroyed.
Well,
it's all based
not
on
always.
Chance.
Depends where
I
you hide
so.
It.
And another thing, Dumbledore wouldn't make a Horcrux.
Well, here, tell me this. So let's say, just for the sake of argument, that Gandalf is way more powerful just because he can come back. Mind you, he came back, but he did not stay back. He came back just for that time, just because his job wasn't done. And that would mean that he wasn't controlling it, which would mean that it wasn't his power, it was whoever choice it was to bring him back's power. So I'm pretty sure it is canon in Lord of the Rings.
Well, I'm not saying it's just because he was able to come back to life that's automatically a sign he was more powerful. I'm just saying he came back to life, which still shows signs of
but
either impressive power or
how does that make him
impressive...
more powerful? One thing.
You see, what happens in these episodes is you are much better at conducting arguments than I am.
One thing, like, one single thing. It's like this. Okay, so Gandalf can come back to life, but we hardly see him take great quantities of lives from other beings. It seems like the most he can do is deflect people. Like, when he was fighting Saruman, if he wanted to, he could have done something so much greater, but all they're doing is just pushing each other back and forth. So I just don't see any moment when Gandalf shows more power, like an exceeding amount of power, besides him coming back to life. But that's not eternal. He doesn't come back permanently. He comes back for the time being because his job wasn't done, which shows that his power that is not his power. If it was his power, he would come back for the time being, which shows that I know there are.
Why does the fact that he came back only for the time being show that it's not his power?
Because it's not like At that point,
that just shows that he says, "Yeah, my time has come, but I need to help them through this."
So it's basically saying
to come back.
But he's basically already dead. He's already dead, but he
can't. Yes, but it doesn't show that it's someone else's power.
But that's no. But they say something about him not choosing to come back.
I'm not saying it isn't his,
because
it is
didn't,
his power. Because
he didn't choose to come back. Something else made him come back. So that's not his power. That's someone else's power.
I don't know. When I just
if he wanted
when I
to
compare
come
the two, I just feel like there's a sense of like raw power about Gandalf. That again, you're gonna ask for examples, and I can't really give you any. It's kind of down to assumption, because there's never really explanation
but
of what he can do and what he
but
cannot
if it's
do.
Assumption.
And I feel like with Dumbledore, it just feels like a more like yes, he's very powerful at what he does, but like.
But
everyone does it.
Not exactly. And like Dumbledore wouldn't be that great unless there was something about him. Like if
well there's obviously something about him, but like say you take
it's not a proper
basketball. Take basketball. Mm-hmm. Plenty of people play basketball. But Michael Jordan is the best basketball player of all time, and he's a tier above most other basketball players. That's what I compare Dumbledore
but
to.
But
Gandalf, on the other hand...
Are you making a comparison between... There's something wrong with comparing different universes because they have different rules set out. So,
it's not a comparison. It's
no,
a,
it is comparison. It is
metaphor,
comparison because, like, are we finding out... Like, are we measuring Dumbledore's power over a comparison between him and other wizards? Or are we comparing him to other muggles?
No, all I'm saying
is you use the analogy
well,
of
that's
basketball
the point
players.
Is you can't you have to compare him to other wizards because they're there. If you compare Gandalf to other wizards, you can, but there's only like three of them. He's one of like four or five.
So
there's
are you
him,
comparing
Radagast, Saruman, and the two twin wizards or whatever?
So who are you comparing?
Well, I have
him
you,
to?
You have to by the nature of it compare Dumbledore to wizards because he's not his innate ability to do magic is not special at all because plenty of people have that ability. So he is yes, I am comparing him to other wizards, not muggles.
Okay, so who are you comparing Gandalf to? Because if you want to compare,
I'm comparing Gandalf to dwarves and hobbits and elves because they're it. There's
but obviously
in the Lord of the Rings universe, there's an innate power that comes just from being magical.
But that is not
a
proper comparison then, because if you want to talk about the power, like the space between power of hobbits and a freaking wizard, it's going to be so much greater than a comparison between Dumbledore
and
another
wizard.
Well, no,
I'm also comparing their magical abilities. I'm just saying the evident, like, I don't know, I cannot argue at all. My arguments always suck. But when you compare Gandalf and Dumbledore, I'm not comparing Dumbledore's power versus Gandalf's power based on their relation to hobbits and other wizards. I'm just saying there's a certain element. I can see why you're saying this argument doesn't really work, because I'm kind of just saying, like,
you're saying, like, I assume this happens just because.
I'm kind of... No, that is not okay. What I'm saying. I'm not assuming anything. It's more because, I guess, it kind of seems... Or maybe I am saying this, I don't know, that Dumbledore loses more power simply because there are a larger amount of powerful people in his world.
Well, if there weren't a larger amount of powerful people, and let's just say... Here, let's take this for example. Let's say that Dumbledore... Let's just... Take Dumbledore and throw him to Lord of the Rings. Throw him into Lord of the Rings. Who would win in a battle?
Gandalf or Dumbledore?
Yes. Dumbledore, obviously. He can just...
I'm not sure if Gandalf would fight the battle, though.
Okay, well,
as
Dumbledore could have the choice not to fight the battle as well. If you want to bring the argument of...
If they
we
fight,
don't know,
if you have...
If you want to bring the argument of we don't know the limits of Gandalf's power, then that would... basically ruined the entirety of Lord of the Rings, because if he was like way more powerful than he shows himself as, then that would have helped out a lot more in the Siege of Minas Tirith. He would have been able to do much more.
But the whole point of the character is he seems to be the type of person that is afraid of power.
So then he's not...
Even if he had that power, I don't think he would use it.
Okay.
Unless he really needed to.
But where do they show that? obviously they show, like, they do show it when he's afraid of the ring. He thinks that the ring could overtake him, but that doesn't automatically mean that he has power just because he's afraid of power. Being afraid of power being afraid of that great power does not mean that he has power and he chooses not to use it. It could also mean that he doesn't have that power. He chooses to avoid that power. He doesn't want the power that the ring could give him. Because, like, if you just take Dumbledore, put him in Lord of the Rings, or vice versa, take Gandalf and put him in Harry Potter, and you just put them on a field, if we're judging power, and, like, just, another question, are we judging, like, magic power, kind of like who would win in a fight? Because that's,
I mean, yes, I'll give you some. I think Dumbledore would win in a fight.
Yes.
But I think Gandalf is more powerful.
But why?
For pre-stated reasons.
But the reasons weren't pre-stated. You said...
I've stated many reasons.
No, but the reasons you've stated are that have no, like, recorded evidence.
That's the point.
But that's not evidence.
I don't know, it's just... First of all, okay, stepping away from Gandalf versus Dumbledore for a sec, who do you think's more powerful, Gandalf or Galadriel?
Galadriel.
I agree. Who do you think's more powerful now, Galadriel or Dumbledore?
Dumbledore. Because Galadriel obviously isn't afraid of showing her power, but if she's not afraid of showing her power, then why couldn't she do so much more for everyone? She's shown that she's not afraid of
Jackie,
totally
it's not
freaking.
That
she's not. She's shown she's not afraid of, like, totally letting loose her power. She's done it. She's.
I don't think Galadriel is an innately good person.
Yeah. So if she's not. Yeah. Exactly. So if she's not a good person,
but that has nothing to do.
She
with
wouldn't have a problem with showing her full power. So if she's more powerful than Gandalf and she doesn't have a problem showing her full power, that would mean that she'd use her power. For much bigger reasons.
Another thing, you see, this is a hard point to argue because it's just like, I don't know, Gandalf just feels like everything about him is a mystery. So it's hard to argue because you know everything about Dumbledore.
Well,
so it's hard to argue.
Here's the thing.
But let me say another thing.
That is a good point. Gandalf is a huge mystery, but there's never a moment, like, there's one moment in the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy where Gandalf's power, like, if let's say he is unbelievably powerful and let's say he doesn't want to use his power, then the only moment that we'd actually see him use, like, that huge power is either when he comes back or when he, kind of uses his flashlight to shine the Nazgul away. So,
let me say, I think the Balrog, by the way, is more powerful than is let on. I feel like.
But it literally just fell off a bridge.
It's not portrayed.
It tripped.
I feel like it's not portrayed. Well, no, that's what we saw. That's the part
we saw.
It
tripped off a bridge.
In the book. Yes, everything can fall off a bridge. I could fall off a bridge. That's the part we saw. We didn't see anything of the battle that happened while they were falling.
But
I'm just saying, I'm not necessarily saying this makes Gandalf more powerful. I'm just saying I think it is a very difficult feat to fight.
Yeah, but I think most of your argument is based off we do not know how powerful Gandalf is, right?
Yeah, now I'm beginning to agree. I kind of am beginning to agree with you a little bit, and it's also pissing me off at J.R.R. Tolkien because I'm like, come on, dude, you could have put this in there, and it would have been so insane, and it would have been like.
Here's the thing. Here's another thing. Saruman is. We could both say that Saruman is more powerful than Gandalf, right? And if he is way more powerful, then he wouldn't be. Then he'd be the last one to be afraid of using complete power to take over the world. He doesn't use complete power, though. He uses the orcs. He doesn't suddenly, like, mind control everyone. He just hides away in his tower and ends up getting stabbed in the back.
Another thing, this isn't a comment, so don't be like, it doesn't matter. Like you've been doing the whole
time. Wait,
what? this is just an observation that may or may not affect the argument, but it's not like a direct argument for me right now. Harry Potter has a more... This goes back to the whole hard magic and soft magic thing. Harry Potter has a much more physical sense of magic and, like, real sense of magic. Well, Lord of the Rings has a much more mystical and, like unbelieving, disbelief sense of magic.
Okay, so, like, I can see what you mean. Like, all of the magic in Harry Potter... Does it seem like people who haven't heard of it are a bit shocked, but they come to get used to it? It's not like in Lord of the Rings where something happens and basically the battle stops just to watch, and it's more spiritual like that.
Okay, I have something to tell you, by the way, ask, by the way. Do you think Sauron is more powerful than Dumbledore?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, good. Yes. Okay.
And if Sauron is more powerful, so in the beginning of Fellowship of the Ring, we do see him basically start taking out an entire army, right? But taking out an entire army, then he gets killed by someone who with a sword, who just chops his finger off.
That's because the ring was his power source.
Yes.
It would be the same thing as if Dumbledore had a Horcrux and his Horcrux got killed.
How would it be the same?
The Horcrux is in the ring.
I'm just saying, if Sauron can... It's like this. Do you think Dumbledore could get backstabbed with a knife by a Muggle?
Depending on the circumstances, heavily depending on the circumstances, yes.
Because to take him down, even like when he's not trying to be taken down, and when he's taken by surprise, it takes wizards with wands to take him out.
And they still can't take him out.
Exactly. And I'm talking about Half-Blood Prince. He was going to allow Draco to do it, because he knew it had to be done, but that's because he was letting them do it. But...
You know what this argument has made me realize? Voldemort is like the wussiest villain ever. He barely managed to take over a school. Well, Sauron ruled the entire world. Let's see, who else? Thanos killed half of the world, this universe's population.
Here's an argument against that.
Yeah, I don't believe that, actually. Okay. I was just about to negate that all by saying that Voldemort literally ruled the entire world and had a massive reign
Snape.
Of terror and was the most feared wizard
Snape
ever
who was like top 10 Snape who was like ago. Top 10 henchmen basically was one of the causes of the downfall, you know?
Snape is literally my favorite character.
Yes, I know.
Snape and Dumbledore
and
are the
Draco,
two best characters.
I finally the movies don't really do a good job of this, but in the books, I finally noticed how like complex a character Draco is.
Oh yes, Draco's a very good character. When you finish Deathly Hallows, I got more thoughts on Draco.
Maybe we can...
You know what? I think I've come to a realization where this argument is going. I think I've begun to agree with you that in a head-to-head fight, Dumbledore would probably win.
But in that universe...
But I think in relation to their separate universes, I think Gandalf is considerably
more powerful. Like, in the power source of that universe, he is infinitely more powerful than a halfling.
I think I believe I see Gandalf as more powerful because everyone has magic in the wizarding world.
So we are talking about power relative to species.
Now we're talking about power relative to universe and species.
Okay, so in that case, I think that's like the perfect place to agree to disagree, because we might agree that Dumbledore would win in a fight, but Gandalf would tear around. There are only three people in Lord of the Rings universe that Gandalf could not defeat.
Saruman. And Galadriel. I think Elrond might win, too.
Elrond? Have we seen him do magic, though?
No, but I think he could. Hmm. I think he's... It always comes back to, I think he's more powerful. Than
that. I guess. And also, elves are immortal. And Gandalf's immortal, too. There is, like...
I wonder.
There's that whole...
What do you think
There is that whole ring of immortality in Lord of the Rings. There's so many... That there's so many races that are immortal. So Gandalf coming
immortal in a sense.
Gandalf coming back from
not immortal in the world they live in. They go off to the Grey Havens or whatever.
I've always hated that. That always just seems so depressing.
Yeah, like the end. I have a love hate relationship with the end of the Lord.
I think it's done beautifully in the movies, but in the books, it just seems so dull.
I need to watch the movies again. They're so much better than the books.
Indeed, yes. I know.
Okay, quickly, before we continue. Actually, you probably have to leave soon.
Yeah.
But let me get in one more thought on this, but I want to continue this episode soon with a different thought that I have.
Okay.
But let me finish this thought off with, I still consider Gandalf to be more powerful than Dumbledore in ways we've stated, but Dumbledore would beat Gandalf in a head-to-head fight.
So, in general... power relative to universe.
Also, what power is used for and what you can use power for. I'm agreeing with you in some sense.
Okay.
But I still think Gandalf is more powerful, and I think Gandalf's power could potentially be a different type of power as well, which I haven't mentioned.
I think ultimately
you win this argument.
Okay, I disagree completely, but I can see where you're coming from.
Wait. What do you disagree with now?
That Dumbledore is less powerful than Gandalf.
Okay.
If we're talking about power relative to universe, then it's another game, because you have to You have to basically divide it. You basically have to bring, like, you have to take out all of the wizards and bring them down to the same level as halflings. So if you bring that, then who'd be more powerful? Not other wizards, like Muggles. So let's put halfling, like Muggles, on the level of hobbits. Now if we look at the space between halflings and Dumbledore and halflings and Gandalf, what space is greater? In a spiritual sense, we'd both say Gandalf, because he's literally an angel. But that's not the question. It's power. Who has more power?
So with Dumbledore, I think the perceived difference, Gandalf is greater, but I think the real difference, Dumbledore is greater. Because in the perceived difference between Dumbledore and Gandalf, Dumbledore has a more physical type of magic, thus it seems more like, not to like downgrade the power of his magic, but it seems more like tchotchke-ish. Well, with Gandalf, it just doesn't seem like that. It seems more metaphysical, more so thus it seems more powerful. I think the gap is greater between Dumbledore and Muggles, but I think the perceived gap is greater between halflings and Gandalf.
Yes, I have to go in a sec, but I have to say something about that. When you say, like, Gandalf's power is more metaphysical, the only time we really see him having more of a spiritual power is when he comes back, and all the other instances of him doing magic is basically, like, Dumbledore doing magic. He does flashy lights, like in The Hobbit. Oh, I just want to say this. Hobbit Gandalf uses magic so much more, and I've always found that so funny. In the movie theater, when I was watching Desolation of Smaug, I was like, when he was in Doggle Duel, I was like, wow, Gandalf is actually doing stuff. Okay, but the only, like, the
yeah, instance, that's what's so special about Gandalf, in my opinion, is that he doesn't do
the
stuff.
Instances of Gandalf using, like, actual magic and actual powerful magic is basically the same as when Dumbledore uses it. It's flashy lights that does stuff.
I think the way stories are told, though, the less someone does something powerful, the more powerful they seem. Just simply in the way to, like, you can't tell me that you don't feel like Gandalf is more powerful while reading Lord of the Rings.
Reading Lord of the Rings, I feel like,
or watching
Dumbledore, I would always feel like Dumbledore is more powerful, but that's relative, like, relative to this race or this universe. It all depends on the universe. Like, for Gandalf,
I feel like when telling a story, power gets perceived greater the less you do something really not necessarily, but I feel like doing something extremely powerful once in a story can come off as just as powerful as doing something decently powerful a lot.
But Dumbledore doesn't really show his power that much. Heck, he...
That's what's perfect about Dumbledore, and that's why I dislike Michael Gambon, because Dumbledore is a very laid-back person, and Michael Gambon is not.
How is Michael Gambon not laid-back? He has, like, one...
Dumbledore... Here's the heart of Dumbledore's character.
Tell me three moments when Gambon is not being Dumbledore-ish, besides Goblet of Fire.
Harry, did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire?
Besides Goblet of Fire, that is one moment, and I might say that it may be a little off-character, but that's one moment. Okay, one moment. Tell me another time.
Well, let's see. I haven't watched the movies in a long time, so this might be a bit problematic.
The whole point of Gambon is that he's so chill and laid back, and he's like...
The whole point of Gambon is he always seems grumpy.
He's not grumpy, he's just brooding.
Yeah, and Dumbledore isn't brooding.
He
Dumbledore
is
brooding on
in the
inside.
Later
the
movies,
whole
he
heart
is.
Of Dumbledore...
He is so
the whole
troubled.
Heart of... Shush! The whole heart of Dumbledore's character...
Shush!
But the whole heart of Dumbledore's character is he is the classic wise old wizard who is kind of nice, kind of sassy sometimes, always knows what to do.
But that's so boring.
But on the inside, he's nothing like that, and he's being torn apart, and he's got this huge moral dilemma, and he's always having a battle with his own brain.
Exactly.
And he has guilt, and he has pain, and he has fear, and he has... That's who Dumbledore is, and that's why Gambon isn't like...
But that's exactly why Gambon
That's why Gambon isn't my favorite Dumbledore, because he wears all of that on his sleeve.
But that's exactly why Gambon is... Literally is Dumbledore, because so many times...
He wears all of those emotions on his sleeve, but the whole point of Dumbledore's character is that he does such a good job at hiding that, and that makes the moments when
he
lets out those emotions... It makes those moments when Dumbledore shows
but
emotion.
But he hardly shows emotion.
Like, real emotion.
He's very monotone.
So much more powerful.
He's very monotone, and it seems like he's thinking about something, but he never shows it. And then, in Order of the Phoenix, when he suddenly appears, it's way more epic. Because in both Goblet of Fire and...
He's too energetic.
How is he
time?
Energetic?
He's, like, bouncing on his feet.
Are you kidding me? Dumbledore...
I need to watch the movies
Dumbledore,
again.
In the books, literally, like, puts on a, like, during Halloween, he literally puts on, like, a fancy flower hat and starts dancing around with McGonagall.
Yeah, that's another thing. Michael Gambon just always seems so grumpy and brooding and depressed all the time.
Except in the moments when he's supposed to be. Like, in...
No,
in
all
the
time.
Scenes, he's like happy and jolly, and then during the Yule Ball.
No, he's not. He's like
during the Yule Ball.
Hello, blah 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 blah.
Okay, you have to watch
blah.
The movies again.
Sit down.
Because in like
maybe
in like the Yule Ball and all like the feast scenes, he is so jolly. He's like, welcome to another year at Hogwarts, like that. Well, Harris is like, welcome to another year at Hogwarts.
Well, that's what Dumbledore was like in the first two books. Let's just say we're not going to take anything away from Harris, because Harris did exactly what anyone would have done in the first two
I guess.
Movies, because that's
he can't,
what Dumbledore
you can't make the character
the
too
movie.
Interesting.
So Harris is fine. It's the debate of whether or not Harris would have been good in the last five movies. Eight, six. How many movies were there?
Seven.
Eight. In the last six movies.
Wait. Right.
Or eight. Deathly Hallows part one and part two. It always has pissed me off that they made a part one and a part two of Deathly Hallows of all books. Like, I know it's like the densest book,
okay.
But like, if you're willing to make part one and part twos, why don't you take Half-Blood Prince and actually make that movie good instead of just
Half-Blood
making
Prince
it a stupid teenage
so
rom-com love drama. Half-Blood Prince is the worst movie ever. They took out all the important parts.
Half-Blood Prince is so good.
They took out the whole thing with Dumbledore and Harry and, like, all the pensive visits. They put in, like, two. They didn't put
but
any
that
of that
so
backstory
boring.
For
Did
Voldemort
you, Could you
in
imagine,
there.
Like, 40 entire minutes of flashbacks? That would be so weird. They can't call...
Can you imagine 40 entire minutes of watching Ron and Lavender Brown make out? Because you don't have to. It exists,
That's
and
two
it sucks.
Scenes in the entire movie, though. It's like...
The whole movie is about that stupid
no, it's not.
Loveness.
He breaks up.
It's so annoying.
It goes till the Quidditch game to the love potion incident, and then he breaks up with her.
I've got nothing against romance in movies, but Half-Blood Prince is not, it did not do justice to the book.
It's obvious there are a lot of things we have to be disagree with Lord of the Rings.
It didn't do justice to Snape. It didn't do justice to Draco.
Agree with Draco.
It didn't do justice to, like...
Here's the thing. When you talk about really doing justice from a book to a movie, you can't always include things. I think the Harry Potter movies are perfect in the ways they are done, except Goblet of Fire, for movies. You cannot make five-hour movies. That's not what you can... That's not a movie.
I know,
you have to make,
but there are some parts that are just too important to be left out.
But then you'd
like
have to leave
all
out
of Half-Blood Prince.
But what would you... But here's the thing. Then there's so many other things that you can't leave out. There's so many
things. Why? Just cut that... All the kissing with Ron and Lavender down to, like, 20 seconds.
It is 20 seconds. There's like
it's not. They spend way too much time harping on
it. I recently saw the movie. This is what happens. They kiss at the Quidditch... in the Quidditch party. Then after that...
That was your favorite scene, as we all know.
They walk around a bit. And then after that, the love potion incident happens.
Also, Piggy fucking sucks!
Who?
I just banged my table really hard and all my stuff fell over.
Who sucks?
Ginny freaking sucks!
Okay, I agree. I agree so much. I've never agreed with anything.
Ginny's like one of the best characters in the books.
But here's the thing.
There are a lot
of characters in Harry Potter. A lot. In each book, there are around 12 main characters.
And you can't do justice to Harry's freaking love interest?
No, you can't. If you don't want to sideline Hermione, Ron, or Dumbledore, you can't do that.
Also, they just made Ron seem like a stupid idiot that couldn't do anything right.
You talk about love interests with Lavender Brown and Ron Weasley and saying they have too much of that, but...
Yeah, focus on the important... No, I don't think you need to focus on their relationship necessarily, but you need to focus on the character and make it an actually good and compelling character. But I don't want to watch Ginny tying Harry's shoes and feeding him weird tiny bites of cookies. Sucked! Worst scenes ever!
Okay, let's just agree to disagree. I agree with some of those, but not all of them, and I have to go work now. So we can probably just continue this when I come back. So, is that fine?
I mean, sure.
Okay, whatever. So we'll come back later for you all be like 5 seconds. So thank you for listening to this portion. I will be back.
Is there a purpose to continuing it, or do we get everything out? No, there's definitely a purpose to continuing
there
it.
There is. We still have a lot to do. We can talk about
insert. Maybe if we come back. I was gonna say maybe I'll watch a couple of the movies, but I just realized this episode is due today.
Yep.
So I'll watch the movies when we're done with this episode, and we can revisit this topic later. Why are you showing me your filing cabinets?
Because my mouse died again.
Why does that mean you have to show me your filing cabinets?
I just have to turn around the computer to work with the plug. Anyway, thank
you
for listening.
How would you like it if I started showing you my filing cabinets?
We will be back in a sec.
Insert Batman. Wait, no, it's like...
Editor Connor here. I'd say it's more like... Hello there, and welcome to another...
Nope.
Oh, yep, I'm an idiot. So we return, and in the brief period of us being gone, I discovered that my mic wasn't on the entire morning.
Ooh.
So one of our best episodes we've made in a long time, in one of my opinions, isn't going to sound as good, so that's fun.
And for the last hour, I've been scraping off this disgusting substance called caulk from the bathroom, and it's terrible. It's like this sticky thing that holds stuff together, and it's like super glue. It's like Gorilla Glue, but the only way to get it off is to go at it with a blow dryer, and it's so hard to do. Anyway, that's my, and also I did driver's ed, so I have a bumper sticker. Look, I have like a cool driver's ed bumper sticker. Yay! You can't see it, but I don't care.
I saw it.
Well, no one cares about you.
I appreciate you.
I care about our two audience members more than you. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
That was mean.
Well,
I love you.
That was rude. I'm quitting. Goodbye.
I'm sorry. No.
Goodbye there, and this is the end of our podcast.
No.
But yeah, I spent my time reading stupid articles that led me into YouTube videos from Google that were
Good
like movie theory.
Good for you.
I was reading about some Star Wars thing, so that's always fun. Nice. And I ate mac and cheese. So that was fun as well.
Mac, like, as a meal or as a snack?
Nah, it's just a stupid little tiny little bowl that you can eat as a meal if you even wanted to.
I want those.
It's a snack.
Why don't we have those?
I can airdrop you some.
No, I want mac and cheese. Oh, I love mac and cheese.
Jeez Louise, airdrop? What am I, a snotty Fortnite player? I can send you some.
Wow, that was evil.
I don't play Fortnite.
Neither do I. I don't play video games in general.
Besides... Why was that the term that came to my head? Wait, airdrops are a thing in Fortnite, right?
Don't. Are they?
I don't know. I've only played it like once.
I have no idea. I haven't played it ever.
Oh.
The only game I ever play is Pac-Man, and I'm like the best at it.
The only game I ever play is the Google Dinosaur game.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm a boy, bro, dude. Yeah,
yep, indeed. Anyway, hi, we're back, and we're just going to be continuing off the episode, like, the half of the episode that we recorded for you, like, 3 minutes ago. And, yeah, like, if you don't know what we're going to be talking about, then get out of here, because we don't care about you.
We just talked about it. Don't be idiots.
No, seriously, but if you guys already forgot, like, it's been, like, 3 minutes... Get out of here.
Well, we might have forgotten. It's been like 2 hours for us.
Well, I remember because I have a cheat. I have like a script right here.
What? You script episodes? Jackie, is there something you're not telling me?
I've scripted your life.
Am I on the Truman Show?
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
I haven't seen it. Anyway, I'm kidding. I don't have a script.
You ever seen The Truman Show?
Nope, I want to, though. I hate scripts. Like, here's the thing. When I'm, like, talking, like, when I'm improvising, it's so much better. But when I have to stick to a script and, like, a play or anything, my voice suddenly is like, ah, yes, this, blah, blah, blah.
Why would one script an episode of a podcast is what I want to know.
I have no idea.
Not that we do that. I think I scripted one episode, like, ages
ago. I remember your High Ground episode.
Oh, gosh. Why did you make that?
Anyway, we're back. And I think one of the things we were talking about that interests us a lot is Draco's arc throughout the books and his lack of an arc in the movies. Da-da-da.
So, I feel like I'm going into this conversation with two hands tied behind my back. Because there are some things I cannot mention about Draco Malfoy.
Why?
Because you haven't finished the Deathly Hallows yet.
Well, I know what happens. He goes to Harry's.
Oh yeah,
side.
I forgot you've seen the movies. What the heck?
I know the entire story. So.
Yeah, I forgot you've seen the movies. So let's start off with the fact that this didn't happen in either the books or the movies, and that's what really ticks me off. So you know the lame like storyline where like. This storyline has always seemed a little bit weak to me, how Harry just, like, stole his wand, and that's how he got possession of the Elder Wand.
Yeah, I know that, but I don't really see it as weak, but...
Okay, it's not
it's
weak,
more, it's
but
more
I still think...
It's more sneaky, because you don't notice
so
it as
it's
first.
Not weak, but it's just... You get to the end, and it's kind of like...
Oh, by the way, this
mildly
happens.
Infuriating.
It's like, oh, by the way, this happens, so...
I think the fact, I think mostly what bothers me about it is the way that Harry got the wand, just like physically ripping it from Draco. And that's why I think Harry and Draco should have had a duel. There's a bug on my nose.
I've actually kind of always liked how Harry
I went to slap the bug and I almost killed myself.
Because if you think about it, in the first Harry Potter movie, Harry doesn't do magic at all. Mm-hmm. Ever, and it would only make sense for him to get the most powerful magical object. He doesn't do magic. It's just kind of interesting to think about, you know.
I love how you continue without stuttering when I start fighting a bug that has landed on my nose and like slapping myself across the face.
Oh no, I just like watching you suffer. I'm just aggressively squeezing this sanitizer bottle.
Man, you are rich. Sanitizer? That could make you...
I've had this small quarter inch... Not quarter inch, sorry. 5-inch bottle of sanitizer since the beginning of the pandemic. And before that. Before that. And
I've used sanitizer a total of 3 times during the pandemic.
I use it every day, and I have so much left. I do like a drop every time I go outside. Or like.
You do sanitizer every day?
Yeah.
I've only sanitized 3 times.
Well, guess who's gonna die first?
Guess who washes their hands, which is literally scientifically proven to be more effective if you do it right.
I wash my hands every day too. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I know, but what's the point in sanitizing if you're washing your hands?
Like, spur of the moment. If you're out and about or something.
If I'm out and about and I like touch something, I'm gonna sanitize.
No, it says if you go outside or you're touching a shovel or something like that, just do a quick sanitizer.
Why would I care if
it's
my
shovel? And also, sanitizer fights more germs. So,
Jackie, if it's my shovel, why would I care?
Why wouldn't you care? It's like
because
okay,
I own the shovel.
Okay, this
no
is
touched
it's like
for me
it's like
family.
Say this. It's like spitting in your hands, then rubbing it all over your face. It's my spit, so it doesn't do anything. It's like that.
It doesn't. It wouldn't do anything to you.
Actually, it would.
You putting your spit on your face wouldn't do anything.
Full
it's already
germs.
Been in your mouth.
You're full.
It's already been in your mouth. What is it going
to
add?
But you're full of germs.
It might do something to other people.
Nah, it does stuff to you as well, I think.
No, you putting your spit on your face isn't going to do anything to you. It's already been in your mouth. What is putting it on your face
going to
do?
Okay, fine. Then here's another example. Picking your nose and eating it.
I don't think that has any...
Oh, it does.
Bad, like,
oh,
repercussions.
It does.
It's just
it
gross.
Does. It makes you sick.
Well, if it does, then it's a very small chance. But
please go back
I don't
to
think
biology.
You touching a shovel
okay,
that
never,
you
okay,
own
whatever.
And then
whatever,
just putting that shovel
sanitizer.
Back
I'm
in the
I'm just
garage.
Trying to flex that I've had this since the beginning of the pandemic. And when we all move to our bunkers, I'm not going to let any of you in. All I need is my bottle, and I'm good.
I've gone out, like, other than walking the dog, I've only gone out, like, 5 times total.
Yep. Anyway, what were you saying about Draco? Oh, wait.
I was saying I think it just ticks me off that there's such an important thing. It's just such a, like, bruh, that's how it happened moment. Like,
I love that so
how
much.
Cool would it be? Like, they could have tweaked Draco's arc a little bit. I don't mind it. I think there are so many things where I think it's just as good as my solution. I just think my
like,
solution
what
would
if?
Be.
Like
a, yeah, like a slightly better what if. Like, if Draco... Also, Draco should have had a redeeming moment.
He did. Okay,
in
the deleted
book.
Scenes, he does have a redeeming moment. In the deleted scene of Deathly
deleted
Hallows...
Deleted scenes equals deleted.
No, but in the... No, but they left out so many things. In the deleted scene of Deathly Hallows Part 2, when Harry jumps out of Hagrid's arms and Dumbledore was like, what the heck? Draco runs over...
Why is Dumbledore there?
Not Dumbledore, sorry. Voldemort. So, when Harry...
Hey, moldy,
when
Voldemort?
Harry yeets himself out of Hagrid's arms... And Voldemort's like, what the heck, bro? You're still alive? What the heck? Draco, in the deleted scene, runs over to Harry and gives him his wands.
Why would he run over to Harry? Why don't he just throw it at him?
Because he's like 30 feet away.
Magic.
Magic.
Magic. But I just think, also, first of all, movies aren't canon. Book canon is king. And I don't
movies
remember that
canon.
Happening.
Movies just
nope,
as
book
canon.
Book canon is king.
Movies
movie
just
canon,
as
then there's
okay,
book
okay,
canon.
Okay, sorry.
No.
Movies are just as canon. They're different canon, but they
no.
are still canon.
Yeah, that's what I just said. Movie canon and book canon, but book canon trumps movie canon.
Not always. I'm just no. Wait. Hear me out. Hear me
yes,
out.
No,
hear me out.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Always.
Hear me out. Not in quality.
There's two lines in the movies that are better than the books.
Hear me out. I'm not going to say what you think I'm going to say. In quality, not always, but in basically, like, trueness, yes. But not quality. Yep.
No.
Yes. That's you agree with me. I know you do, because you say the same thing about Lord of the Rings.
You can pick and choose. Like, okay. So, here's what... If the books if the movies... First of all, anything... That's good enough in the movies. I wish happened in the books.
Yep.
And I'm still going to want that for the books, whether or not it happened in the movies. Also, anything in the movies that contradicts the books. Okay, I guess it's ultimately just picking and choosing what
yep.
you like and what you dislike.
It's like, my perfect...
Whatever's in... That's the movies.
My perfect...
Whatever happened in the books happened.
Yeah, my perfect Harry Potter is a mix of the movies and the books. But here's one thing that I always found so funny. Like, there was this old, like, little uproar after Crimes of Grindelwald came up, how...
Crimes of Grindelwald was terrible.
No, I know, it was terrible, but people freaked out about this one moment when Newt says Accio Niffler. You can't. So, but J.K. Rowling says that you can't summon living things, right?
I think you could summon a Niffler.
No, but no. But she says herself, you cannot summon living things. But no, but here's the other thing. People are saying, no, but J.K. Rowling says you can't summon living things. And in Crimes of Grindelwald, Newt says Accio Niffler. But then that means J.K. Rowling again is contradicting herself, because in Deathly Hallows, someone Accio's living fish out of the water.
Oh, J.K. Rowling contradicts herself
so much. Okay, I feel like there's just one thing, like whenever she's interviewed about something and someone asks her a question, she like thinks up a question, spur of the moment, you know? She's like, oh, I didn't think about that. Yeah, sure. This person...
I mean, I'm not saying she's good at it, but it does end up contradicting occasionally.
Yeah, kind of like with this, it just seems like spur of the moment. She's like, someone asks, can you summon living things? She's like, no, you can't summon living things. But then in Deathly Hallows, someone summons fish out of the water.
Personally, I don't count interviews to be like...
I don't
either. If something's contradicted in an interview that she said, that doesn't
bother
me.
Okay, I don't know if it was an
If something
interview,
in the book that's canon is contradicted, that's bad.
It may have been in Pottermore as well. I don't know.
Anything that... Here's what I have to say about canon. Anything outside of the books...
Or the movies.
...that contradicts something important that... No, the books. If the movies are contradicting the books, it doesn't really matter to me.
Oh, wait.
If anything contradicts the books... I just go with the books, and I don't really mind that it happened, because I'm not going to take that as canon. The books, what I'm saying is books trump all, then movies, then Pottermore, then J.K. Rowling's Twitter account.
So would you count Lord of the Rings? Like, if Lord of the Rings did something different, would you count that as canon or not canon because it happened in the Lord of the Rings movie?
Well, they didn't do anything different.
Well, they did a few things.
Okay, so what... I don't mean that movies aren't canon. I'm saying books trump movies, and even if it happened in the movies, I still want it to happen in the books, especially if it was just a deleted scene.
Okay. I see.
I have a total of two lines or two things that happened in that actually happened in the movies that I wished happened in the books. And those are,
Jake.
Of course, everyone's favorite Snape line, always or whatever. That doesn't happen in the books. Spoiler alert. Sorry.
Wait, what? Always what?
You know, when Snape is like, Dumbledore's like, after all this time, and Snape is like, always.
No, that's in the movie.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying it doesn't happen in the books.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Sorry, spoiler alert. And there's one other line that Sirius says in Order of the Phoenix. What is it? He's fighting next to Harry.
Get rid of my godson.
And he says, nice one, James.
Oh, I love that so much.
And that's the only other line that I wish was in the
here's
books.
The thing.
Other than that, books are canon.
Here's the thing. People have said that it's really sweet when Sirius says, nice one, James, but it just makes me realize...
No, I don't think it's sweet at all. I think it just emphasizes all of his character flaws.
I think it means that he really didn't see this as for the greater good. He just wants to go off and have a fun time with, quote-unquote, James, you know? He just wants to go back to what he did in the
old days. I think
it's
a character flaw for Sirius.
Yeah.
Editor's note. What on earth is happening? Ugh, jeez Louise, guys, sort your audio out.
Remembering all the fun he had with James, you know? It might have not been a flaw, it may have just been him remembering that this is just what, like, this is kind of what it used to be like, we're saying.
I think it just emphasizes exactly who Sirius was as a person very, very well.
I still love Sirius, he's one of my favorite characters. He was really well done.
I found that he's kind of... less likable as time goes on.
You think so?
Sometimes he just seems like a... I mean, I understand why, but sometimes he just seems a bit... I guess it makes sense that he's kind of immature and childish because he was spent most of his developing years in prison.
Right.
But... yeah, I still really like Sirius.
Yep.
But still, Snape, Dumbledore, two best characters in the books, changed my mind.
Indeed.
You can't.
I also think that Draco can, like, if Draco had a little bit more development, I think he could be one of the best.
That's why Draco needed a redeeming moment.
He did need a redeeming moment. In the movies, he...
And also, him and Harry had to have a duel.
Like, almost, in the almost final, in one of the final cuts, not the final cut, he did have the redeeming moment, but they cut it out. I feel like so many times in the movies, the director gives
They cut out Dudley's redeeming moment, too.
Yeah, exactly. He's like... There's Dudley's like, I don't think you're a waste of space, and they have it in the book.
You know what would have been funny It would have been funny if Dudley had a wizard child.
I would have loved... Okay. If Cursed Child did that, I would have been so happy. That would have been something that would really work, you know?
I hate Cursed Child.
I know, but... But wouldn't you agree if he actually did have one, that would be amazing?
I think, yeah. I think it would have been nice to even include it in the epilogue of the actual
book.
That
would have been, like, that would have been a full arc for Dudley.
You like, know? I know J.K. Rowling said, like, they, like, kept in touch and, like, their children hung out and stuff and they were, like, on okay terms. But that would have been good.
Right.
Like, Draco and Dudley both deserve better.
Yeah. Because, like, Dudley did have a very large arc, even though if the arc was kind of rushed in, like, his last chapter, he did go from, like, having no idea what a wizard was to knowing, to despising it, to fearing it. And then in the end, even though it was a little rushed, to being like, okay, I don't think you're a waste of space. But in...
Like, I don't necessarily like you, but I don't dislike you.
Ouch.
I think that's how Dudley felt.
Okay, I thought you were saying that to me for
Harry.
A sec. I was like, ouch, ouch,
ouch. Oh, no. I was talking about Dudley's opinions about Harry.
Yeah, but it would have been so much better for his arc if they made it so... He had, like, a child who was a wizard as well, you know, a witch or wizard. So it would literally go from having no idea what it was to knowing what it was to hating
it. Now that I think about it, I think JK might have actually said she thought about that.
She did? Oh, my gosh. What?
That's a missed opportunity.
She is
new headcanon right there.
She has so many missed opportunities and so many opportunities that should not have been taken, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of like putting McGonagall.
Well, what opportunities do you think shouldn't have been taken?
Those should not have been taken.
Which ones? What do you think shouldn't have been taken?
Like McGonagall in...
What happened to McGonagall?
In Crimes of Grindelwald.
That was just a stupid cameo.
But it doesn't work. She's negative 6 years old.
Yeah, I know. It screws up the entire timeline because she... Yeah.
Unless she had a time
turner.
That
was dumb.
Possibly she had a time turner. That could work in somehow. But McGonagall's definitely not going to be a main character if it was just a cameo.
McGonagall is a really good character.
McGonagall is a good character.
By the way, I wonder if Voldemort gets involved with the Crimes of Grindelwald, because Fantastic Beasts took place in the year he was born.
It might end with Dumbledore visiting the orphanage, or whatever it's called.
I also really, no matter how bad that movie, I really like, I think they could, if they do it right, they can make it very, very good.
I do too. I recently rewatched it.
And I also really like Grindelwald.
And
Grindelwald
I have noticed
good.
That it is extremely well directed, but terribly written. The bad part is the writing, the plot, but the direction is amazing. David Yates is not
They need
made...
to sideline Newt Scamander.
I disagree. I kind of agree with you after they introduced Dumbledore. And Grindelwald, because it definitely is leading up to their big duel. But I hope they can find a way for Newt to still, like, do all the little missions for Dumbledore, you know?
I think I said this before, but I think they seriously misbranded that as well. I don't think it should be called Fantastic Beasts at all. I think that was just to pull people in because it was, like, the name of a textbook that we've all heard.
Yep.
And I think that now it's just going to end up, because of that name, it's just going to end up with them shoving Fantastic Beasts down our throats because we have to have Fantastic Beasts because it's called Fantastic Beasts.
Yep,
also, what on earth were Grindelwald's crimes? That still ticks me off.
He murdered that kid. He murdered that family. That's about it. And he also escaped.
He murdered a family?
He murdered a family.
I haven't seen this movie since I saw it in theaters.
So he murdered a family. He escaped from the American prison. He killed, what's her name? He killed a bunch of people in the stadium. He did commit a lot of crimes. But the crimes weren't really part of...
Sorry, I was swallowing water.
Like
I have a very strange epic saga of water on this podcast.
Yeah, in total, he committed around, like, 20 crimes in that movie, but none of them were, like, a part of the plot except him escaping, you know?
Yeah, okay. So, but I'm excited that they decided to go into Dumbledore versus Grindelwald because that's the most, that's
too.
The coolest.
But it's
thing
still
ever.
Frustrating how they branded it.
Yeah, it's dumb. Like, why do they have to name it after a textbook as well?
The question is, did they plan out this trilogy or these five movies? Did they plan it out? You know,
I swear, if they pull the Star Wars, oh, I'm going to be ticked.
Yeah.
The acting and cast is very good.
It is
though.
Very good. The mute, like, it looks great. It sounds great. Everything's great, except the dang story and writing.
The acting in particular, though, very good.
Yep.
Like, I can't think of anyone who I'd recast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Eddie Redmayne was very good.
Yeah. Johnny Depp in that.
He was actually really good.
Johnny Depp in that one Coliseum scene. The Coliseum, just the stadium thing, was amazing.
I need to watch Pirates of the Caribbean again.
Oh, gosh, me too.
It's on Disney Plus now, so.
Yeah, I haven't seen those in a while. I did, like, a few months ago, I saw Dead Men Tell No Tales, and it's my least favorite one. Just because of how they ruin every single character.
Which one is that one?
They make every single... the fifth one.
Are there six of them or five?
Five.
Yeah, the fourth one is the worst one. I don't know what you're talking about.
I kind of like the fourth one, actually.
With the Fountain of Youth?
Parts of it. No, I don't like the ending. I just like the whole Blackbeard.
It's so bad. And stuff.
I still like some
I'm
of it.
I'm sad now, because I think they're getting rid of Johnny Depp, and he's, like, the best part of it.
Yeah, well, hopefully he wins the case.
I don't think it's because of that. And also...
No, it's definitely because of that.
No, I'm pretty sure they were planning on getting rid of him anywhere, weren't they?
Were they?
Oh, well whatever. So, I hope he wins either way. But
well, if so, good luck getting money for Pirates of the Caribbean without Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp was so good in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yep.
So good.
Yeah, except the fifth one.
I think he's fine in the fifth one. I don't like it as much.
Seriously? He's like... He just looks so different. He sounds so different, and any like character he had is just thrown away for some drunk jokes.
I don't know. It's not a bad movie. It's not the best one. The fourth one is the worst. Here's Pirates of the Caribbean in order of best to worst. Either the first or the second. The two Davy Jones ones are easily the best ones.
Yeah,
I can't remember which one's better because I haven't seen them all.
You think?
Oh yeah, 100%.
You like the third one?
Two and three are the two best ones.
You think so? I think it's two, then one, then three, and four, then five.
I think it's two and three, then one, then five, then four.
I just felt like they kept getting worse and worse and worse. It started out great, it went to good, it went to pretty good, to okay.
No, it started out good, it went to great, it kept being great, then it sucked, and then it went back to decent.
I don't know, I've never really caught on with the third one. I, like, don't get me wrong, it looks great, and it's a heck of a ton of fun, but just, it's so silly. I don't know. Just the whole Calypso thing is just weird.
The part where she turns into crabs weirds me out.
Yeah.
But Davy Jones is so good.
Oh my gosh, I still can't get over how real he looks.
Who played Davy Jones?
No idea.
I need to Google that.
Anyway, we should probably just get back to Harry Potter.
This is important. Why do you always want to abandon our important conversation?
Because we were in the middle of a discussion about Draco.
We weren't, though. We were talking about Fantastic Beasts. Davy Jones. Give me a sec. I'll figure it out. I don't think this is it. Robin Atkin Downs. Does that sound familiar?
Nope.
And Dead Man's Chest. But I don't know how you don't like three. Like, Davy Jones is
literally one of my favorite villains. No, I
ever.
Like three. I like three a lot.
Bill Nye, the science guy.
Oh, but Bill Nye,
Bro, my
Nye?
Dude was almost 60 when he did that movie.
Wait, is that? Hey, it's the Minister of Magic.
Oh, Rufus Scrimgeour.
Yeah,
we come full circle.
Yay, let's go.
Did you like Rufus Scrimgeour?
I actually like him a lot.
Oh, by the way, I've always been disappointed that Cornelius Fudge doesn't have a bowler hat in the movies.
He does, though.
It doesn't necessarily have to be green, but...
He has a bowler hat.
He never wears it, though.
No, he does. In, like, a lot of scenes.
Oh, really?
In, in the Quidditch World Cup, in the Ministry scene.
I guess even though I watched these movies like when we started this podcast for our Harry Potter ranking episode, I guess I need to watch them again already.
Yeah, just Google Cornelius Fudge. One of the, like, the first images that comes up is him in his bowler hat.
Cornelius. Well, maybe they should have made it lime green. That's another thing that I think is interesting. Not bad, but interesting between the books and the movies is the whole... The books, especially the first couple of books, seem a lot more childish.
Right.
I, so far, have seen one picture. Is that a bowler hat, though?
Yeah, that's definitely a bowler hat. Just wide brim.
Let me zoom in. I don't know. It looks like I probably thought it was a.
He wears
that's
it.
That's a fedora.
That's not. What the heck are you talking about?
Oh no! There's a couple pictures where it's like lumpy.
Yeah, it's a bowler hat.
So sometimes I go back and forth in this. Sometimes I like the way Fudge is portrayed in the movies. Like sometimes I really, really like it, and then sometimes it's just okay to me. I don't know why.
Mm.
What do you think about Fudge?
I've always liked Cornelius Fudge in the movies. I hate him as a character, but I like him. Like, I hate how annoying he is, which is good, because you're supposed to hate him.
You know who's a really annoying character that no one hates enough? It's Percy Weasley.
I was just about to say that. I was just about to say that. They don't even give him, like, a noticeable redemption.
Personally, I think he should have died as well.
I don't think so. I think two Weasley deaths is too much.
I don't think so. I think that would have been a good redemption for Percy.
No, I don't think so. Because, like the Weasleys are like the most beloved family in the Harry Potter universe,
yeah.
And then having
and that
two
book
of them
is
die.
Supposed to hurt, dude.
But they already have like 12 main character deaths.
Yeah, it's supposed to hurt, and but I think Percy need a better redemption arc.
But like, I think I feel like people wouldn't really take like really notice or care about if he died because
I would have.
Fred already dies, you know.
Percy would have died first, in my opinion.
No, here's the thing.
So you'd be sad about Percy, and then you'd be devastated about
Fred.
Here's
the thing, though. If Fred dies, then no one will care if Percy dies, because people like Fred better.
I think Percy needs to die first so that you have time to care a little bit about Percy, and then you can care about Fred.
But then that would be... But then that would just be weird, because then, like... Then you just won't care about Fred's death as much. It will just seem like attack on, just because...
No, it won't.
Yeah, well,
why does
like...
that seem like a tap-on? It's just a redemption story for a different character.
But it's not. It's
did okay, Fred dying not make you sad about Lupin dying?
Dying is not redemption. Living is redemption.
Dying for a cause is redemption.
But fighting and living for that cause is even more of a redemption.
But I think Percy didn't redeem himself enough. Then
wait, so
dying would have put
him. Wait, so in order to redeem yourself, you have to die. That's like saying in order to be a war hero, you have to die.
No. I'm just saying Percy didn't do enough to redeem himself, and I think it would have been a strong plot point if he died.
But how? Percy Weasley, total jerk. He goes to Battle of Hogwarts, fights and lives, or maybe is like the one to save Fred's body or something from Greyback or someone. You know, that would have been strong. Him living on, not just dying, you know, and being bad. They'll redo that for Snape.
I still don't think Snape was fully redeemed. Like, he was a great character, but I don't think he deserved to be
fully
redeemed.
Yeah, we've already done an episode on that, so we'll...
Just give me a chance to tell you why it would have been, like, more effective, or at least it would add to the plot if it happened to Percy as well, and not just Snape.
Okay.
So Snape was like a... Everyone knew Snape was a jerk. Snape was a mean character. He was a bad character. Percy was a Weasley, and Weasleys are just naturally, like, nice, and everyone loves the Weasleys, and the Weasleys love Harry, and Percy was being a jerk to the Weasleys, and he joined the Ministry because he was, like, so, like, obsessed with working. And then Percy comes back, and he finally redeems himself by returning, and he's doing good, and he's fighting for the Battle of Hogwarts. And then he dies, and that's like a slap in the face, because this man, he was been a jerk. He finally came back, and then he gets killed as, like, when he comes back. Like, that's his reward for, not reward, but, like, that's what he gets for coming back. That shows you how,
but that's not,
like,
that's
dark
that's not,
and hurtful that
book is.
That's not
really
how
you write a plot. You do not shove in deaths for shock value just because. So, if he dies, fine. I'm fine with Percy dying as some sort of redemption. But in that case, you cannot kill Fred.
No, 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 no. The way J.K. Rowling did it, as you notice, as I noticed at least, was throughout the Deathly Hallows, she slowly ramped up the impact of deaths. First, it was Moody, and that's like, oh, that's sad, but I mean, whatever.
Are you kidding? Everyone was like...
For us, not them.
Oh, okay.
For us, not the characters. It's Moody, and we're like, eh, well, most of what we know about Moody wasn't even actually Moody, so we're sad, but it's not, like, horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dobby dies, and everyone's like, oh. Actually, no, Hedwig dies first, and everyone's like, oh, that's kind of sad, but whatever.
Then when Dobby dies, it's freaking heartbreaking.
Then Dobby dies, and everyone's like, oh, dang, man. But it's not, like, still not, like, the, like, it's bad, and that's, like, the first taste you get of, like, the actual, like, bad deaths. And then after that, like, Fred dies, and everyone's, And then freaking Harry himself dies at the end. So the deaths are slowly... And I think the more people who are doing good and what they get in return is death. Like, I'm not necessarily saying everyone should have died. That's a horrible idea. But you got to strategically pick who you want to live and who you want to survive. And I think Percy would have been an interesting character to kill. To show that even though he finally came back, it's still...
Honestly,
what's going on is so horrible that
if he died, I wouldn't care. If Percy Weasley died in Battle of Hogwarts, I would not care. I care more.
You're not supposed to be like heartbroken, but you just be like, "Oh, it's a Weasley."
But honestly, don't care. To me, he's not a Weasley anymore. If he died right after he gets redeemed, to me, he's still not a Weasley because he basically breaks off. But if he lives through and continues, then I would be able to accept him as a Weasley. But basically, I know like. I know he gets slightly redeemed or something, like he gets called back to the Battle of Hogwarts, but that to me is the redemption. Like joining in, he accepts that he was terrible, and then just killing him off just seems like I don't really know, it doesn't do anything for me.
It just makes the book hard and like
But the book's a hard thing. But that's exactly why you can't do it. You can't just throw in deaths to make it hard. You have to throw in deaths to have meaning.
This guy finally made the right decision.
But they already do that for Snape. And they already do that for Harry.
No, they don't. What do you mean they do it for Harry? Harry's been making the right decision the entire series.
He's been making all the wrong decisions.
Ultimately, Harry didn't make too many wrong decisions.
He has all these weird things, and then Dumbledore was like, no, Harry, control it. He keeps making all these wrong decisions, and then end up getting caught by the Snatchers after he says... is Voldemort's name, and then he just makes all these bad decisions, and then he makes the decision by letting himself die to save everyone, and then if you just throw in Percy Weasley, then it's just an afterthought, because we already have Fred die, we already have Snape die, we already have Lupin, Tonks, and Harry die, and then suddenly we just throw in Percy, I'm like, okay, whatever. It's like throwing in Colin Creevy. Colin Creevy dies.
Colin Creevy died!
That's exactly what I said. Colin Creevy dies, and it just has, you said it's like throwing in Colin.
It just means nothing.
It just means nothing. Because
the only reason like killing people like that off means something is it's because it's like, well, they're not like you're not like hugely emotionally attached to them, but they're characters who have been with Harry, and with like just part of Harry's life consistently, not even in a big way, but they've been consistently part of Harry's life for 7 years now, and then they just die, and that's it.
But that's already Fred. That's the whole point of Fred.
The whole point of Fred is because everyone loved Fred.
Yes, but just throwing in Percy has no meaning to anyone except for his personal development. But it would be even more development if he fought and survived.
Well, then they need to give Percy better redemption because his redemption wasn't like
exactly fine. But I'm just saying his redemption doesn't have to be death. Like his big redemption could be that Greyback. Here's I don't know. I just thought this off the spot, but let's say that after Fred dies, he dies fighting next to Percy, but Percy doesn't die. So it could be like something that this. I don't know if this happens. I haven't read the book yet. I haven't finished the book, but let's say that. Like, Greyback comes to, like, tear Fred apart or something, and Percy ends up killing Greyback, you know? Someone who's someone who's already bitten one of his, like, bitten Bill and killed Fred, you know? Like, something like that.
And Lavender Brown.
And Lavender Brown, but no one cares about Lavender Brown.
I hate Lavender Brown. All she did was... Yeah, I'm going to use the weird British word. All she did was snog Ron for, like, 3 hours straight.
Is snogging an actual thing? Do British people actually call it that?
It's a British thing.
Seriously?
I'm not sure. But I think it is. Is it not?
Don't know.
Hey, Google. No, I'm not asking Google that. Never mind. Shut up. Is it a word?
Don't know. I think it's a word, probably.
We go to Google.
Let's see. Yeah, it's a word.
Huh. Is it a word or no?
Yeah, it's kiss and... I'm not going to say that. It's kiss, basically.
Nice.
Anyway.
We totally let go of the Lord of the Rings, by the way. This episode was originally like a comparison. I wanted to get to that, but I guess we're probably not going to have time.
Yep. I think we should just end this episode off now. This is a pretty long episode. It's like an hour and 20 minutes, around 30 minutes. So...
70 minutes. No, 80 minutes.
Nice.
This might be our longest episode.
I think
it is.
Anyway, thank you all for listening to this episode. We will be back on Tuesday, hopefully. And
wait, is today Thursday? Oh, crap. I thought today was Tuesday.
Today's Thursday.
Well.
And
I'm going to go spend the rest of my afternoon doing this, and I'm not going to be done until 6:50.
And I'm going to go do driver's ed. Yay!
Again? More driver's ed?
Yep. I'm trying to speed through it.
Maybe I'll go eat more mac and cheese.
Yummy. Give me some. Anyway, thank you for listening.
I will airdrop it to you like a snotty Fortnite player.
Anyway, thank you for listening, guys. We'll see you Tuesday. We'll sense your presence Tuesday, hopefully.
I am sensing your presence currently. I sense there is a man who is wasting his life listening to two teenage boys talk about Harry Potter.
Same.
Except it's not a waste of your life. It's the best thing you'll ever
do.
It's
the best.
So thank you for listening, and... goodbye there, and unwelcome from this episode of The Unwatchables. Alright guys, now that he's gone, Gandalf would totally win.